We're going to continue our teaching on the prayer today. We were called to do many things in our life. One thing is about prayer. Why the prayer is important in our life? Not just because we need God's help and we need someone to talk to. Prayer is in every aspect of our lives. There are so many teachings about prayer in all the book of Bible. How can we pick this particular verse? You know, this verse from 2 Chronicles 7, let me see, 14. The reason we pick this verse to teach you about the prayer, because this verse teach us something not just fundamental about prayer. It teaches about what kind of prayer. The most important kind of prayer is about a prayer for revival. This is the verse teaching about how can we pray for revival to be upon us. If we can do that, you can do all kind of things, right? So this is the most important teaching on prayer. And everything, when we talk about a prayer, usually it comes out from your mind, these verses. And then it will give us so much hope. Look about whatever you are doing right now, whatever you see from the TV and newspaper nowadays. I think you all are aware about that campus shooting happens, you know, so many times just recently. Sometimes we walk into the daily life, just like Matt has shared with us. It's not something just scary or just something unknown. It is a situation of hopeless sometimes. We feel there's no hope in our life. How come this kind of thing keep happening, right? It's like, have ever you come to your mind with that thought that why don't somebody stop those campus shooting? Why God you don't stop those campus shooting? How come I in such a hopeless situation? And hopefully today's passage can help you to understand that and give you a hope. So okay, can we all open our Bible and turn to the 2 Chronicles 7:14? All right, have your Bible ready? Because this is just one single short verse. And we're going to look at all the different verses in this verse. So you better have the scripture open before you. Okay. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from the heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Okay? Let's look at some of the verb in this verse. First one, it talks about humble yourself. Humble themselves. Why when we talk about prayer, you want us to be humble first? See, we Christians, sometimes we ask to do something is so you don't quite understand. For example, Bible teaches us and asks us to be a good person, but all the time Bible say we are a sinner. Bible always teach about and asks us to do good works, and also teach us that there's nothing good from us. What's going on here? And sometimes we are asked to forgive others. And then Bible asks us to receive forgiveness first. If nothing good from outside, how can we do good? Think about that. If we are needed to be forgiven, we are such a sinner, how can we forgive others? You know what I mean? So it's kind of weird, but this is also the best part of our Christianity. They say we can do all this goodness, and we can have be a good person, not by our own strength, but because of the grace we receive from Christ. You know, I say, again, here we are asking for God in our prayer that you're going to heal my land. You're going to give us hope. You're going to heal my prayer by being humble first before Christ. And this, you know, this humble, what does that mean, humble means? The humble means is a realization of who you are, right, before God. If you know our God is an almighty, powerful God, knowing our past, present, and future, everything is in His hand. If you know our God is such a God, what kind of person you will be when you come before Him? Humble. It's not just the way we understand it as a humility. It's not just like that. Now, this word humble means is I'm nothing. You know, I realize I'm such a sinner. I need God's grace. It's just like Paul had confessed. There's nothing good from me. Or everything I want to do, I wish all the good I want to do, but in the contrary, whatever I do is evil. It's from my evil desire. For example, like we're going to use that campus shooting as an example, as an illustration to my sermon today. What's happening there? When you are walking in the campus, on the campus, what image do you have? You know, after this couple shooting recently, I have a friend from London, England, and she just emailed me and say, she already make up her mind. She will never let her kids to come to the States for undergrad study. It's so dangerous. You Americans are crazy. How can you let students, teenagers, holding guns and shooting everybody without any reason? I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to love her. I'm going to do everything for her. And until he or she is a college student, I'm going to send her to the United States to study and in the campus and got shot by those crazy. And she couldn't understand that. But we are in this situation, right? You know, when I first moved here 2 years ago, people asked me, how is Seattle? I say, kind of quiet, you know. Now you say, is it safe to walk around in Seattle? I say, it seems safe to me. To a degree, I feel kind of bored, right? Nothing exciting happening. But you know what? My friend called me after that shooting and said, hey, you say Seattle is safe? To a degree, it's very bored to you. But now, look at that. In your neighborhood, there's a shooting there. It tells us something. It tells us we are so vulnerable, you know. We, as a human being, we have no control or anything around us. We need to humble, not because we want to be humble. It's not a humility. It's a realization that we are nothing. And we need God in a very, very bad way. We need God. We need God in every minute. Otherwise, there's no security. There's no hope. That kind of realization will bring, somehow will trigger the action from God. You know what I mean? Look at this verse again. He said, if my people humble and pray. He said, humble before prayer. You need to humble yourself first before you pray. When we humble ourselves, it makes us the right person. Make our attitude correct. So wherever we come utter from our mouths will be answered by our God. You know, this is the way I learned about prayer. It's nothing about what you say from your mouth. It's what kind of person you are when you are praying. So I always ask my coworker, if you come to our church prayer meeting, then you know that I always ask brother and sister in a prayer meeting to kneel down and pray. We cannot stand before the altar and say pray like that. It's not for me. At least I want to teach us, I want everybody to know that kneeling down before God and pray make us humble, not just in gesture, not just bodily humble. It is remind us that we need to be we need to empty ourselves. We cannot rely on everything on ourselves. We have to come before God and totally put our trust and depend on Him. That is the attitude that we are called to have before even we say our first words in our prayer. So you look at the verse again. Pay attention to that sequence. Humble and then pray. And you say, that's it? That's it? I want to know what's the point, number one, in my content. What should I pray about? You know, just like what we have said, there is a power in the name of Jesus. Should I close with a prayer with the name of Jesus? You want to know about the detail of that. But I'm telling you, this scripture teaches us. Of course, those are important. But most important is what kind of person you are when you do the prayer. What kind of factor will trigger God to answer our prayer and to release His power, and so we can experience that? It's not what you say. It's what kind of attitude that you have before God. He requires you, which requires your humility. And that's very important. You know, look at those campus shooting. It's so depression. It's so negative. But there's a positive sign. You know, when I heard there's a campus revival in 1970. It happened in Canada. What happened is, same thing in the campus, for no reason whatsoever, not because there's somebody's knee or any special events. It's just one or two students. You know, and not during the semester, not because of any they are praying for final or something. You know, there's sometimes most of the university in North America have chapel on the campus. So what happened in that 1970 campus revival in Canada is like that. One student somehow during the day he just walked into that chapel. And he walked in and he walked all the way from the door and go directly before the pulpit. And then he just knelt down. And when he knelt down, he stopped praying for his own sins. He made confession or whatever. He doesn't feel he liked himself. He just continued to pray for forgiveness. And then he had the tears come out. He's not kind of all quiet type of tear. He just pray before the pulpit quietly with tear coming down. And it's not just 5 minutes. It's not just 15 minutes. It's not just 1 hour. That student, somehow, something strike his mind and his spirit. He is so broken in spirit that day, and he just kneeled there and keep praying and praying for hours. And then there's another student see that. And so he followed. And he dared not to interrupt his first student's prayer, so he just stand behind him. And then kneeled down behind him. So one by one, another student see that, and then they come behind him. And then just one long line of people all the way from the pulpit to the entrance of that chapel, a small chapel. And so some students are walking on the campus, see that thing. Hey, what's going on there? is something on sale or whatever, or what, anything happening? You know, somebody comes to visit campus, they don't know what happened. So everybody just lining up behind that they don't know what. And then after this student done his prayer, he just, you know, stand up and he walk away. And the next one, do the same thing. Kneel down and pray and cry. Pray not for anything else, just by himself. Praying for forgiveness, praying for all the spiritual battle he's experienced. And then again, stand up and walk away. Stand up and walk away. But you know what? That line never stopped. People keep coming. Amazing, right? People just keep coming. So that chapel cannot be closed during the nighttime. But students won't leave. Usually they will close the chapel in the evening, but they're not able to close it. So the prayer is still going on, not just through the day, but overnight. And students still lining up behind it. And everybody just pray for his or her own sin and forgiveness. That's it. And you know what? Because that event, somehow other campus, other college, they heard about this. And there are some students do the same thing. They also just walk to their small chapel on their campus, and they just start praying for their own sin and ask for forgiveness. And one by one, you know, God set up a fire here and there and there, and one by one, and the whole campus revival is happening. It's all God's own doing. Nobody manipulated that. Nobody make it happen. But God himself. And how it happened? From one single person's prayer for forgiveness. That's it. When I heard that story, I was so excited, you know. I said, oh man, I want to experience that. Because look at my life. It's a hopeless situation everywhere. Look at all the news we just heard. But you see, last week, is that last week or 2 weeks ago? When that SPU shooting happened, right away after that, they clear out all the building. You mean, during that event, they lock up all the building, right? And they search all the students, right? So everybody was locked in and had to be searched. But after they were released, you know what students do? I read from my Twitter, students start walking to a chapel. It's a one small chapel in SPU campus. And they start walking there. And again, amazing, they are lining up. And they fill the whole chapel. So people had to stand hours in the hallway and also outside of that chapel. And later on, the people, you know, has to sit on the grass, outside of that chapel. And they are praying, and they are talking and praying. I don't think it has a big sign of revival there. But at least it's a small, small revival for their own student body, right? See, that's the way God do things. When God going to do something, He's going to open your eye. When God going to do something, He's going to do it in His way. Not any way that we can think of. No matter how good a leader, how great a leader you are, how good an engineer, or how can you program anything, you have no comparison with our God. When our God going to do something, He's going to do it big. Revival is only the work of Holy Spirit. Revival, we human beings cannot manipulate any spiritual revival. When we see something happen good over there, we want to be a copycat? Want to copy that thing here? No way. For example, like what situation we're right now. We as a church, we now are praying and working toward, we're going to make, you know, do our best to have a rebuild our English congregation, right? We're going to have more people come to a service. We want to revive this church in a sense, right? But how? I'm asking you this question. By doing another thing? By creating another events? By doing another activity? outreach, whatever, if this passage is the key to teach us, what we need to do is not to do a lot of things, but to come before God and pray. Prayer is the solution. Not just the shortcut. It's the only way to God's revival. There's no other way. If you want God to do it God's way. If you want to use your human effort, you can do your best. We can hire a great preacher. We can make out the best programming for our Sunday service. We have the most delicious refreshment, whatever. You can attract a lot of people here, but where are they going to stay? And are those people who are attracted to our event, are they going to trust their life in Jesus and be born again? Not necessary. But the way to revival is our confessions, not our other thing, our own sin before God. And you're going to see how God do His part in an amazing way. Okay, let's continue the teaching from this verse. After we are asked to humble ourselves and pray, the verse following is to seek, right? To seek my face and turn from their wicked way. This word seek, in original text, the tense of that original word is imperfect pure, which means we are seeking intensely, purposely. It's not just say, browsing through a newspaper looking for something. It's not like that. There's a attention, you're paying attention to that. I'm seeking my God with a purpose, and I want to get it. I'm determined to get it from God. That kind of seek God's face. Because of that kind of intention, so that there's an action follow it. So you see, look at that, the words after that, seek my face, then you're going to turn from their wicked way. See? You seek God's face, and then you want to turn away from your wicked way. Can you turn to to 2 Corinthians 7? And that's really, I'm going to use that verse to explain what I mean by turning from your wicked way. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Can you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Let me read it for you. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leave no regret. But worldly sorrow on the other way bring death. So what is godly sorrow have produced in you? Look at that. What a godly sorrow will produce in us? Earnestness, eagerness, right? Alarm, longing, concern, readiness. Are you in any kind of situation like that? When you come to God, when you are praying something for our EM, want to do something, what is your attitude? I do my best, that's it. Okay, is this the attitude, nothing going to happen. He wants us to confess our sin to a degree that we feel sorrow. You know, we feel sorrow for ourselves. And that godly sorrow will bring to those actions. And those actions helping us to turn away from our wicked way. And then, if you come back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then our God promised, say, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. In order for our prayer to be heard by God, He needs us to be humble and seek His face and turn away from our wicked way, and the promise is right there, then you're going to trigger the action from God. He will hear our prayer, He will forgive our sins, and He will heal our land, which means whatever problem we have, He's going to take care of it. So now let's look at that campus shooting one more time. It's nothing quite, nothing, that tragedy is nothing too different from whatever other tragedy in our life. It's not all our doing. It just happened there. But we all know some people have problems. These people need to seek help, right? And how come we are in that kind of situation? There's no way you can prevent that from happening again, you know that? We are not totally safe from, you cannot isolate yourself from this society. You have to be exposed to that. You know, we are living in a wicked war right now. And you remember they say, turn yourself away from that wicked way. So what does that tell you? That we had to pray for the forgiveness of our own sins. It is us, every one of us, make that crazy person shooting on the campus. It is this war. It's the sin that make people that do those crazy things. So it always come back to that fundamental questions. Yes, we cannot do good thing, nothing good from us. We are all sinners. And what a sinner should do, we should ask for forgiveness. How long have you, in your prayer, when was your last time when you asked Him for forgiveness in your prayer? When was the last time? That means how far away are you from our God. God delights in hearing our repentance. So you know what? God is asking for repentance. This is the biblical principle. You know, in this 2 Chronicles 7:14, God eventually revived a person, right? Hear the prayer. But before He revives somebody, He wants to humble somebody first. Before God lifts you up high, He wants to crush you all the way down to the bottom first. The way to go up is by going down. You know what I mean? The way to spiritual revival is by way of for confessing your own sins. When you humble, you will be lifted up. When you repent, you will be revived. That is the biblical principle coming from this passage. So tells us, what should we do? So it doesn't matter what your situation you are right now, your job, your family, your study, your school. You want to accomplish something, think of it in opposite way. You want somebody to be nice to you, be nice to him or her first. But anyway, deal with our own sin first. What kind of person we are when we are making our request to our God? Repent of our sins, and you're going to see God do His part. So it tells us this principle. It's very easy, and it's true, and God going to promise you He will answer. That is the trigger to release the power of prayer. But you know what? All this good thing is not going to happen to everybody. I didn't share with you the first requirement of this verse. So let's come back and use that as a conclusion. Okay, look again, verse 7:14. If what? My what? People who are called by my name will humble. So, you know what? That good thing, that revival, will only happen on God's people and God's people only. You mean it's going to happen on you and me only. So we had to be a believer first. You say, I want to pray. I want to experience God. The first prayer you can do is your repentant prayer. A prayer to receive God as your personal Savior, to forgive your sin. That is the first prayer we're going to pray. Otherwise, this God will not hear your prayer. When you call, when you make a prayer, say, I pray all this in Jesus' name. What does Jesus' name mean to you? If that Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, God will not hear your prayer. So, I don't know what the situation you are again, but you and I, we all need to make that repentance prayer. That I am a sinner. God, I know that. I realize my wicked way. I realize my sinful nature. Now, please forgive me. Set me free. When you set me free, you not just set me free only. You set me free from the bondage, all those insecurity, hopeless situation around me, because I have God in me. No matter how low I had to go, my God will lead me up high to His presence. And that is the promise. And you can realize that by doing a prayer just like this. Okay? We will experience a survival. The ending story. I told you about that 1970 campus revival in Canada, right? I was praying that I can experience one. You know what? I did. I came to stay in 1980. And there's again, same thing happened. This time happened in Midwest, in state of Illinois. Same thing. This is a small campus. I forgot that university. It's a Champaign or whatever. I don't remember. And the students somehow, in one afternoon, one student, without any reason, no reason whatsoever, just walk into the chapel and just kneel down before the altar and start crying and praying. And again, student, again, one by one, lying behind him. And the whole campus come together. I'm talking about a secular university. I'm not talking about a Christian university. The students just come on that campus. And then a campus revival just happened there. I believe that's 1986 or something. I forgot. And then there's a nearby college happened. Same thing happened there. Then the whole Midwest region, wow, you know, people flood the church. Pastor doesn't have to pay any visitation. People just keep coming to the church. I remember so well. And it's a spiritual revival, even though it's briefly, but at least lasts a year or two. And it happened in the Midwest region. So many people trust their life in Jesus. So many new believers. So many people's lives were transformed. So many churches was established during that time. Not all because any human effort, just because one sinner's genuine prayer before God. And God answered that prayer and see what happened. So you want to see God do great things here at SFCC? We all want it, right? What can we do now? We don't have to rush to do anything or praying or design, whatever. We just need to come quietly. You don't even have to let me or anybody know before God and make that prayer. And God will hear it. He said, I will hear their prayer. I will answer their prayer. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal the land. Make that land fruitful, beautiful, glorious, wonderful in the name of God. I think you want it. Now we all know how to do it. Let's pray, okay? Shall we? Father, I have to come before you to confess our sin first. there's nothing good inside of us. We know we need to ask for your forgiveness because of our sinful nature. I just pray that this time make us realize that we need to come back to you again and again and again. Not because the prayer is not sufficient, but because we are in need of your forgiveness all the time. And we know you are priests. You are delight in our humility. I just pray. There are so many things, there are so many needs in our life in the church and also in the church. But we know you can do everything. There's nothing we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about our future, our security, our kids, our schoolworks. Of course, there's so many things we need to worry about. But we know our God is the God of everything. You can take care of it. But you want us to do is to come before you and make a prayer or confession that we are sinners. So now I want to make an open calling to every one of us here sitting. That if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, are you willing to say, I want to believe in this Jesus as my Savior and forgive my sin now, today? Is there anything, any person like that here? If you want to make that prayer, please raise your hand so I can see it, okay? I want every one of us are Christians here. And I was so happy to know that. If you haven't made that personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and forgive your sins, I'm going to make that plea to you right now. Raise your hand. Say to God, I know I'm a sinner. I need you. I want to receive you as my personal Savior. Raise your hand so I can see you. I will pray for you. Any one of you? By doing that, then we can come before God as what is say, call my people so that our prayer can be answered. But only God's people can make that prayer. So one more time, one last time, I want to ask you, any one of you, if you haven't made any of that personal decision before, and now you realize you are a sinner, you want God to forgive your sins, you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, please raise your hand now so I can pray for you. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you have protected us. Your providence, your protections, your faithfulness in our life. And we experience those in our life already. However, we didn't acknowledge that knowing it or not knowing it, our God loves us and protects us so that today we can enjoy all the goodness, the blessing that we have. But we don't deserve it, Father. We want to come before you and confess. We are sinners. Nothing we can do to be pleasing to you and to the people around us. We need your help all the time. Please be our Lord and Savior, not just in our spiritual life, but in our daily life. Make us humble, Jesus. So when we pray, we will pray for ourselves first. When we see us as a real us, then we know we are such a sinful person. We will turn around and see your grace. This is the only way that we can know that we are in need of your grace, by seeing ourselves first. And I know also that our church, so many people sitting here are praying for the revival of this church. We all love this church. We all love to see this church can glorify your name. We just pray that God, you teach us. You're going to revive this church through a prayer, not through whatever the thing we do. Because God, you are with us. You never leave us. You love us. This is a church that you set it up. This is your church. You won't lead your people. You just want us to realize what kind of spiritual attitude we should have before you, before you answer our prayer. So God, we pray for forgiveness. And I pray that you will give us hope. You will give us the revival that we are longing for so many, many years. By looking inside, turning inward, and we see the future. We see the heaven. Yes, there is a power in the name of our Lord Jesus. We want to release that power to help with our life, to help with this church. And we're going to make that thing happen by confessing our sins before you. You are a faithful God. We want to be obedient to your command. And we will make that prayer. And you will hear our prayer. And you will revive this church. And you will help every one of us here that walking in the kingdom of God that is pleasing to you. Thank you for listening to our prayer. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.